objectives are. What's the objective? What's the subjective? And through sharing that, we move forward and learn together.
Mm-hmm. And also, where can people sign up for the class?
So if you go to Pugs Online, pardon me while I have to refer to my device right quick.
Because of course.
I have the web page up. If you go to PugsPDX.com, PugsPDX.com, you're going to see courses, and you're going to see in April, there, April 2018, there's Hip Hop Spoken Word and Anti-Fascist Activism, and you can sign up there, and the cost of the course and the quantity of people registering, those options are on the page. And I also want to say it's going to be 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. and it's going to be at the Wayfinding Academy, and I'm looking for the address right now. That's Tuesday nights, 6:30 to 8:30, Wayfinding Academy, 8010 North Charleston Avenue in North Portland, and Tuesday nights, April 10th, 17th, 24th, and May 1st. That's May Day. So that last class is on May Day.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be dope.
All right. Well, Mike Crenshaw, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you very much for having me.
KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Finance Committee will meet this month on March 22nd at 4:30.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Limp Wrist. Live Friday, March 23rd at 8 p.m. at the Bossa Nova Ballroom, 722 East Burnside Street in Portland. Limp Wrist, four unruly lewd queens playing hardcore call for all dykes, rough girls, sissy boys, trans folks, leather teos, fierce queens, punks, the non-defined, and the questioning, to come get loose at their only Northwest show. Also playing are Xylitol from Olympia and Portland's Labinden Toten and Petite. Again, that's Limp Wrist, live Friday, March 23rd at 8 p.m. at the Bossa Nova Ballroom, 722 East Burnside Street in Portland. This is an all-ages show. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Girl.
And the time is 6:02, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. And coming up next is a special Revolution Choir show, followed by This Way Out.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the KBOO Evening News. My name is Sam Bowman. We are not live right now, but we are coming at you out of time from the Tip Top Lounge atop KBOO World Headquarters here in beautiful Portland, Oregon. I'm here with the Revolution Choir. Woo! How's the view from up here, Revolution Choir?
Revolution!
All right.
I think I see a revolution.
I am here with many people, but the leader of the Revolution Choir, Kevin Levy.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about this project. What are you up to?
Yeah, the Revolution Choir started about approximately a year ago today, or February.
Today?
February 26th of 2017, we gathered together and started singing some songs that I wrote. I had a lot of political angst that I had to get out, and I realized that 20 voices would be stronger than one. And so I just started reaching out to my community, and out came the pouring of a beautiful group of friends. And we had a choir conductor and helped us kind of get our feet on the ground. And we just started singing. Our first few songs was climate change and greedy politicians and overworked and underpaid and a few others. And we just took off. We were like, there's such a great group of friends here, and I think that's definitely what's helping to make these songs sound as good as they are, because if I hated you guys,
it's all about
Don't tell them.
I don't know, you guys got some songs or something?
We do have a few songs.
In general, there's a lot to be fretful about these days. One thing is, you know, the ongoing fight about the minimum wage and the a livable wage for workers.
Absolutely.
And I understand you've got a song about that. How did that come about?
The song you're speaking of is Overworked and Underpaid. I know a few friends of mine that are working full-time jobs, and they just can't, they literally can't make ends meet. And I just remember one line, how they just woke up in bed and they just stayed awake, but they closed their eyes and they're just thinking about their day ahead of them. And I was like, oh, that was powerful, at least an image in my mind. And so I just kind of wrote a song off of that, and we'll just do it right now. This is Overworked and Underpaid.
Got this guy.
I think it's safe to say. So that was Overworked and Underpaid with the Revolution Choir. Just quickly, what do some of you folks do for day jobs, now that we're on the topic?
I like to personally make kale grow. And so I'm in my backyard garden growing every vegetable and every berry and every fruit tree, and someday I'm gonna get a fruit stand and that's gonna pay the bills.
I work in a law firm
as a legal assistant, but actually just got a new job this week, so. Tito's, he used to work there too.
And now I work for one of the big banks that probably inspires the theme of this group.
And I work in one of the big data centers that consumes all the energy that we sing climate change about.
I worked for a marketing firm where we would be so focused on like growth and development, and so much pressure would be put on people who were making, were getting paid minimum wage to like make that extra commission, and also at the same time being able to build and support their team at the same time. So I wound up working like 14-hour days like throughout the week, and then after like being stuck in that for a while, something kind of pulled me out of it, and I was like, this is just not healthy.
I've worked in behavioral healthcare for the last 10 years, and now funeral industry, which is basically behavioral healthcare, which is depends a lot of education, a lot of overworking, really great attention to detail in high school level, and no matter who you work for, you're really underpaid for the importance of your work. And so this has been the story of all of my adult life working.
I'm lucky enough to be able to still teach music in the public schools.
This next song is just so happens to be called Mom and Pop Shop, and I feel the song is important just to know that supporting your local business is not only a good thing, but actually, in my thoughts, it actually helps to support your local community.
Oh,
I planned.
This is a nice, easy ballad there. That was great. I smell single. So that was Mom and Pop Shop by the Revolution Choir. Thank you, Kevin Levy, again.
The next song we're doing is called Crenshaw. It's about intersectionality, and Kimberly Crenshaw is the lady who the song is named after, and she coined the term intersectionality. And I had a great conversation. I was on the phone with one of our previous sopranos, Elizabeth Wren Schiffler, and Wren and I were talking, and we were talking about intersectionality, and I was just so inspired to what she had to say, and it just moved me, and she was very passionate about it. And then Wren and Stacy and Canada and I all hung out and just were going over the words. And actually one of my favorite lines in the song is something that Canada came up with, which is more than being seen. There's a lot more than being seen with intersectionality. We will fight for more than being seen. And that was very powerful to me. And there's a certain voice that also needs to be loud and clear, and intersectionality can help draw a spotlight on it.
Keep speaking, friend, and here's the mind. Your voice will be heard and recognized. Bravery is strong within your eyes. Struggling for too long for something obviously right. Obsidian, amber, and opal so bright.
Pearls for the jade,
devotion towards the fire. Speaking, friend, you have.
love Congress Hayes. Oh.
Don't you know that Black Lives Matter? Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Yes, they do. Don't you know?
Love Conquers Hate from the Revolution Choir.
Yes.
Now, your next song has what one would assume is a simple premise, that love is love.
Love is love. Well, no matter who you are and who you want to love should not be anyone else's choice, or they should not have a say in who you want to love and who you want to marry. How dare any person in a and anywhere, like, tell you what you can and what you cannot do. It's your choice, it's your right, and it's your life for to do whatever you want. And so love is love is love.
I met her at the park alone, picking the blues on her. She sparked it up and I said, hell no. The wind blew her hair and I started to glow. My heart is like a half-read book. By chapter 3, I'm already hooked. Two women in love. Beautiful women, I'm in love.
try to make laws that discriminate. Their archaic beliefs are designed to hate. Oh, Congressman, it's not a mystery. You'll be an ugly stain in our history. 'Cause love is love, no matter who it is.
So get it out of my life, 'cause it's none of your biz.
Vocals, that was awesome. Yeah.
I'll take them kudos. Thanks, everybody.
This next song is Equal Pay, and it's kind of silly to even think about any one person getting less of a paycheck of an hourly wage than anyone else for doing the same exact job. And so the song is Equal Pay for Equal Work.
Respect, respect, respect.
Equal pay, 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 women sweat equally, women think equally. Women work equally, and they deserve equality.
Equal pay,
equal pay,
equal pay,
equal pay,
equal pay.
gender equality.
I wish every news segment could be like that. Just sung from the heart and with camaraderie and energy. We're going to have to bring in some bulldozers to repair the walls in this building because you folks blew them out. Kevin, if you could just go clockwise and everybody just say your name really quickly.
Thank you. I'm Kevin Levy.
Alan Rudwick.
Reagan Lindy.
Daniel Singer.
Benjamin Cutler.
Ian Upadin.
Kara Mimi,
Stacy Marshall,
Michaela Bailey,
Canada Taylor,
Janet Strong,
Monica Belzer.
We are excited for performing for you, KBOO listeners, and we hope to have you log on to our revolutionchoir.com website. And if you are a tenor and you are wanting to sing, you should reach out to me. You could find our contact on our Revolution Choir, our Facebook website, and say hello.
When I first heard about two new books for people coming out of heterosexual marriages, I thought, good, someone needs to talk about how this is done ethically.
In 1930, Variety magazine reported, only he-men are wanted by the studio for Chorus Boys. If too pretty, dainty, or over-marcelled, he is aired off the casting list.
I knew that I had good intentions, but also that I had so much to learn about the LGBTQ community and the world in general.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A London married couple appeals for recognition in Northern Ireland. Two books help guide lesbians and gays out of heterosexual marriages. And a young straight ally offers insights for those who want to join him. All that and more this week because you've tuned in to This Way Out.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending March 17th, 2018. Oral arguments concluded this week in a marriage equality case in the Court of Appeal of the only major area of the United Kingdom without it, Northern Ireland. Plaintiffs in the case, known as Petition X, are an anonymous Northern Ireland gay couple who legally married in London in 2014. Northern Ireland only recognizes the marriages of same-gender couples conducted in other parts of the UK as civil partnerships. The couple filed their appeal after the Belfast High Court ruled against them, deciding that only lawmakers could enact equality. The couple contends that downgrading their marriage to a civil partnership is a human rights violation that unlawfully discriminates against their rights to privacy, family life, and religious freedom. Even though a majority of Northern Ireland Assembly members voted for a marriage equality bill in 2015, the ultra-conservative Democratic Unionist Party, or DUP, has used what are called petitions of concern to overrule any effort to legislate on the issue. The current Assembly is not functioning because the DUP and the equality-supporting Sinn Féin Party have been unable to reach a power-sharing agreement. Opening civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples has been one of the major stumbling blocks.
The Northern Ireland Assembly and the British government are each named as defendants.
Lawyers for the British government argued that there was never intended to be a one-size-fits-all approach to the legal recognition of same-gender couples across the UK, and that the gay couple's ability to wed in England, but not Northern Ireland, was a matter of policy rather than a legal matter. Lawyers for the gay couple stressed that their case differed from another case working its way through the courts that has been filed by same-gender couples seeking the right to marry in Northern Ireland. But it is similar to a lawsuit to be heard in May in the British Overseas Territory of Bermuda. That lawsuit involves the downgrading of existing marriage equality in the Caribbean nation to domestic partnerships. The three-judge appeals court panel hearing the Petition X case, led by Lord Chief Justice Sir Declan Morgan, pledged this week to deliver a verdict as soon as possible.
U.S. Vice President Mike Pence came under fire this week when he broke with long-standing tradition and banned the press from covering the Vice President's St. Patrick's Day breakfast with an Irish leader. This year, it was openly gay Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar. Pence allowed the press to cover his official greeting as Varadkar arrived at the Vice Presidential residence in the Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C., but he ignored questions shouted by reporters about why the meeting itself was being held behind closed doors. The fact that Pence is well known for his anti-queer views and that Varadkar is openly gay and an ardent equality supporter suggests that Trump administration officials didn't want any conversation embarrassing to the vice president to be recorded and reported. Varadkar told the Irish press last week that he intended to raise the issue of LGBT rights with the vice president. He said afterwards that the private meeting probably allowed the two politicians to have a frank conversation.
Elsewhere, a transgender boy in the U.S. state of Maryland has won the right to use the school bathroom and locker room of his choice. U.S. District Court Judge George L. Russell III ruled this week that the claims of the student, known in the suit as M.A.B., come down to a boy asking his school to treat him just like any other boy. Russell found that Title IX and the Equal Protection Clause provide M.A.B. grounds to do so. Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972 bans the denial of benefits or any form of discrimination based on sex in all federally funded education programs. Russell stopped short of issuing an injunction against the school district and ordered their officials and attorneys for MAB, who's represented by the Maryland LGBT Advocacy Group, Free State Justice, and the ACLU, to resolve the matter before the school year begins again in September. Russell's ruling mirrors several other court decisions that Title IX does protect trans students. Donald Trump's Education Department reversed an Obama-era policy that supported those protections and now refuses to consider any gender identity-based discrimination complaints from transgender students.
Brazil's Supreme Court ruled last week that the government can no longer require transgender people who want to change the gender designation on their identification documents to first undergo psychiatric evaluation and gender reassignment surgery or get a court's approval. According to Human Rights Watch, Argentina was the first country on the planet to allow the ID change without surgery or court approval in 2012. Colombia, Denmark, Ireland, Norway, Malta, and now Brazil have since followed suit. Recognizing people's self-identified gender is not asking governments to acknowledge any new or special rights, a Human Rights Watch statement said. Instead, it is a commitment to the core idea that governments will not decide for people who they are. Despite its live-and-let-live reputation, Brazil has the highest number of murders of transgender people in the world. The Brazilian charity ANTRA, which tracks those killings, said that 179 cross-dressers and trans people were killed in 2017 alone, which amounts to one murder every 48 hours. And those are just the cases that were reported. The group's founder, Kyla Simpson, told the Washington Blade newspaper that we live in a country where it is allowed to kill, where religious fanaticism sharpens its knife daily to decimate our community, and where the prejudice faced by transgender people starts inside their homes.
Gays and lesbians are also frequent targets of violence in Brazil. Rio de Janeiro City Council member Mariela Franco, an out black lesbian human rights activist who campaigned against police abuse in the city's poorest neighborhoods, was gunned down this week. 3 days of mourning have been declared. Even though the area's residents have become numb to almost daily violence, the drive-by assassination prompted a wave of anger and social media-fueled street demonstrations. A crowd of several thousand people gathered outside her city council offices on March 15th, brandishing placards charging that Franco was executed by an out-of-control military police force recently brought in by the federal government to curb drug-related violence. Critics charged that the military police force has done little to dent the drug trade, but has harassed and abused civilians and needs to be disbanded. Investigators agree that the 38-year-old activist was the victim of a targeted assassination, but officials won't say by whom. Her driver, Anderson Pedro Gomez, was also killed, and an aide was injured when, according to police reports, two men in a car drew alongside her vehicle, shot into the car 9 times, and sped away. One of Franco's last posts on Twitter highlighted the shooting death of a young man, describing it as another homicide that could be credited to the police. She'd previously called a military police unit the Battalion of Death, because of the number of civilians shot by its officers. Well-known out-investigative journalist Glenn Greenwald mourned Franco's death, noting on Twitter that she had a 19-year-old daughter, an amazing girlfriend and family. The political consequences will be strong. A number of global rights groups, including Human Rights Watch, have also condemned the killing. Police spokesman said that investigators were not yet sure about a motive, but promised a thorough postmortem. Cynics are not holding their collective breath.
In other news, the longtime face of the National Center for Lesbian Rights, Kate Kendall, announced this week that she's stepping down after 22 years as its executive director. Kendall grew up Mormon in Ogden, Utah, migrated to San Francisco, and began her career with the center as legal director in 1994. She was named executive director 2 years later. Kendall announced her departure on the group's blog. "I feel enormous gratitude to have been a part of the NCLR legacy, part of the history of the fight, still ongoing, for full lived justice for all LGBTQ people," she wrote. The leaders of virtually every other queer rights group in the country praised Kendall for her dedication and leadership. "I am forever beholden to you all for making me better. The honor truly has been all mine," she wrote, signing off with mad love and respect.
And finally,
let it go, let it go, can't hold it back anymore.
You may be among the millions of viewers of a viral video showing a drag queen dressed as Elsa from the Disney hit Frozen during this week's blizzard, single-handedly pushing a stuck police van out of a snowdrift in South Boston. He can then be seen curtsying for the camera and triumphantly sashaying in the snow, singing, "Let It Go." The 37-year-old lawyer in real life, Jason Triplett, said he dressed in the blue dress and blonde braided wig to give his friends at the nearby Gallows Bar a laugh. Enjoying his 15 minutes of fame, Triplett told BuzzFeed that he wouldn't go on the Ellen DeGeneres show unless Adam Rippon was there. When asked during an Entertainment Tonight interview about Triplett's amazing feat, Rippon himself offered a perfect salute.
"They say not all heroes wear capes, but sometimes they do."
Cole never bothered me anyway.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending March 17th, 2018. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
"I'm scared of being ignorant. There's something frightening about not being aware of the truth."
A young ally goes to school later in the program.
Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I've got to be me. I be, but
special group of people who need to sing that song, two handbooks to help the heterosexually married come out have caught the eye of This Way Out Queer Life and Lit commentator Janet Mason and deepened her compassion for their situation.
When I first heard about two new books for people coming out of heterosexual marriages, I thought, good, someone needs to talk about how this is done ethically. In other words, honesty is the best policy, and this means not living a double life for any reason. I was not disappointed. In fact, both books evoked compassion on my part. As a long-time lesbian feminist with a long-term partner in a world that has seen many advances in LGBT rights, I managed to stay in a bubble where it seems like homophobia rarely touches me. And when it does, I manage to get away. But these two books focus on the rest of the world where rights are under attack. Indeed, where progress is met with a backlash. Sadly, this world does exist. As Darshana Matani writes in Greetings from Jane Land, edited by Candace Walsh and Barbara Strauss Lodge, and published by Cleus Press. As an Indian daughter in Barbados, I was told who I was before I could figure it out for myself. My whole life was a preamble to marriage. How to budget for groceries, remove greasy stains from marble tables, make chai, entertain and dress accordingly, pay compliments, satisfy my husband, impress the in-laws, and most importantly, listen without having an opinion. So how to get out of an arranged marriage, or for that matter, any heterosexual marriage? The answers lie in the pages of this book, which is organized into short stories focusing on the experiences of each woman. Many other writers are mothers. Some were raised in strict religious traditions. Others come from small towns, and others come from diverse ethnic backgrounds. More than a few were terrified of losing their children and the support of their families. But they did manage to leave heterosexual marriages that were not working for them. In the process, they were able to create lives where they define themselves. Married Man Coming Out, Create Space by David Christel, is a step-by-step guide for coming out with a goal, as he puts it in the subtitle, to become the man you were born to be. Christel starts off with the sage advice of paying attention to your emotions. As he writes, I know you're a guy, so checking in on your feelings isn't what you do. Do it anyway. Not dealing with your feelings is a cultural myth about men that has been promulgated for eons. Men don't feel, men do. Yet men do have feelings that are fundamental to their being. The author then goes on to make suggestions for telling the female spouse. Her pain is going to be palpable. Whatever you do, don't go stoic on her or let yourself be vulnerable with her. After all, you did marry her, and you may have had children with her. Your marriage is based on something, and you need to have that come through. This way, she won't feel completely abandoned by you, and let feelings of worthlessness overtake her. This book is written with humor interlaced through it, and is very comprehensive. Christel includes coming out to children, other family members, old friends, co-workers, and even touches on the gay community. He also mentions support groups for coming out, and also groups for dealing with addiction. This is Janet Mason with commentary on queer life and leisure for This Way Out.
I'm Kate Clinton, and while I can joke about the political state of our country, it's no laughing matter what Congress could do to our civil rights. An informed community is a strong community. That's why I'm inviting you to tune in to this station to hear This Way Out.
I realized that I was troubled by what I understood as my complacency with my ignorance. So I felt that I needed to find a way not only to help end ignorance in others, but also within myself.
Declaring yourself an ally is one thing, but that may be just the first step. Wise counsel from a young straight activist is coming up. But first...
And now for something completely different.
After a classic satiric setup, Hollywood's early emphasis on uber-masculinity is remembered in A Rainbow Minute.
I'm
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
He's a lumberjack and he's okay. He sleeps all night and he works all day.
I cut down trees, I eat my lunch, I go to the lavatory. On Wednesdays I go shopping and have buttered scones for tea.
He cuts down trees, he eats his lunch, he goes to the lavatory.
Sleep all night and I work all day. I cut down trees, I skip and jump. I like to press wildflowers. I put on women's clothing and hang around in bars.
He cuts down trees, he skips and jumps. He likes to press wildflowers. He puts on women's clothing and hangs around in bars.
Only He-Men in the Chorus. Coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. In the early 1930s, there was a concerted effort to ban depictions of homosexuality in films. Instigated by Catholic reformers and put into place by the movie industry itself, the details were spelled out in what was called the production code. Studio chiefs were forced to weed out the gay actors. In 1930, Variety magazine reported, "Only He-Men are wanted by the studio for chorus boys. Each chorus boy is individually considered. If too pretty, dainty, or over-marcelled, he is aired off the casting list." Matinee idols like William Haynes were pressured to arrange a marriage of convenience. In the end, Haynes' contract with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer was not renewed, since he refused to go along with studio publicity that would have hidden his homosexuality. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, John DeBoer.
Have you checked our website lately? For now playing information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to thiswayout.org.
Taking a stand as a straight supporter of LGBTQ people doesn't necessarily mean you worked out all of your own misconceptions and prejudices. A straight member of Outcasting Overtime looks inward to examine his fear of being ignorant and his motivations for working with the queer community.
This is Outcasting Overtime, a special feature from Outcasting, Public Radio's LGBTQ youth program. Hi, I'm Quinn, a youth participant in Outcasting's main studio in Westchester County, New York. On this edition, Outcaster Max talks about his story about joining Outcasting as a straight ally. Max chooses to focus on the idea of ignorance and how Outcasting has helped him personally learn and teach others about the LGBTQ community.
I used to think that stories that I read in school were stupid. In my freshman year of high school, a time when I didn't have the ability to think for myself, my English class read The Allegory of the Cave. My mind was blown as Plato's story challenged the idea of ignorance, and I began to appreciate more of what I read in class. The Allegory of the Cave is a story of prisoners who are chained down to only face the backside of a cave. They suffer from having a skewed sense of reality, as their understanding of the world comes solely from the shadows they see on the walls. When a prisoner is freed from his position, his changing understandings baffle him. It's a bit more complicated than that, but that's the gist of it. This was the first story that I read in school that had an impact on me. Ever since reading it, I've always had a fear of being one of those prisoners. Not that I'm scared of being chained down in a cave, but I'm scared of being ignorant. There's something frightening about not being aware of the truth. Now, you may be wondering how all this talk of Plato and ignorance plays into my role at Outcasting. Well, in part, Outcasting has become a way for me to take off my chains and learn about the world. At least the worlds of the LGBTQ community, activism, and leadership. I grew up in a home and a town that are pretty accepting of all kinds of people, and when I was very young, it seemed to me that society was perfect. In my elementary school days, my understanding of the world was that discrimination and bigotry were things of the past. To a third grader, the civil rights movement of the 1960s felt like centuries ago. I was inspired by photographs of the Little Rock Nine and wished I could have been there to join in the fight for justice. Obviously, race isn't the only reason why people are discriminated against, as the LGBTQ community still struggles for equality. Growing up as a teenage boy, I was constantly surrounded by the F word. While the four-letter F word doesn't bother me, the six-letter one that is derogatory towards gay people did. For some reason, for guys, using that word is just a thing to do, to be cool. And I understand that my friends don't mean to be hateful, but that's the effect they're having. That always bothered me, how they could be hurting someone unintentionally. I never wanted to do that, and my fear of ignorance was always playing in the back of my head. One night, I think when I was a freshman, my mom and I were having a conversation about family friends who happened to be a happily married gay couple. My mom casually shared that she wondered who was the husband and who was the wife in the relationship. I knew she didn't have the slightest bit of hatred in her, but she just didn't know that the question she had asked was a bit offensive. I was slightly taken aback, just as I had been with my friends. After explaining to her that their marriage wasn't defined by traditional roles, I was forced to pose a question to myself. If my parents, who are accepting and loving individuals, make unintentionally hurtful comments, do I? Did I make microaggressions? Was I ignorant? I quickly came to the conclusion that surely I was. I knew that I had good intentions, but also that I had so much to learn about the LGBTQ community and the world in general. I realized that I was troubled by what I understood as my complacency with my ignorance, so I felt that I needed to find a way not only to help end ignorance in others, but also within myself. A couple of years later, in June of my junior year in high school, Alex, one of the assistant producers here at Outcasting, stopped by my school one day to talk about Outcasting. Walking into the meeting, I had thought that I was going to hear about a radio station like 102.7 or another average music radio station. After hearing Alex share what Outcasting does in giving youth a voice and sharing their views and knowledge of the LGBTQ community, I was blown away. It felt like the perfect opportunity for me to learn about myself and teach others while being an activist. I signed up to join in the summer of 2017, and ever since then, I've constantly been learning about the LGBTQ community. In every session, I learn about the community not only through the research I do, but also by talking to my peers here at the studio. When we goof off and talk about our lives, I learn what it's like to be gay, bi, trans, or the range of identities I find at Outcasting. At first, I was a bit apprehensive about joining because I was scared that as a straight person, I might be trivializing other people's experiences. I soon found that this was ridiculous because although I'm not a member of the LGBTQ community, I'm supportive and truly open to learning about it, and that's what matters in being an activist. Anyway, although I don't understand everything, joining Outcasting has helped me be a bit less ignorant about the LGBTQ community and teach others as well.
Thanks for listening to Outcasting Overtime, a special feature from Outcasting, Public Radio's LGBTQ youth program. Outcasting is heard online at outcastingmedia.org, on iTunes, and on more than 50 public radio stations around the country. Outcasting Overtime is a production of Media for the Public Good, a nonprofit organization. Visit us at outcastingmedia.org to get information about Outcasting, watch Outcasting videos, access our social media links, and listen to the show. Thanks, and thanks for listening.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Tanya Stevens in Concert on Saturday, March 31st, from 9 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. at the Tao Event Center in Portland. Tanya Stevens is an influential reggae artist who began releasing records in 1994. Opening the show will be Cat and Roots Revolution plus DJ Margo Hartenfeld. There will also be food and other refreshments. Again, that's Tanya Stevens in Concert on Saturday, March 31st from 9 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. at the Tao Event Center, 631 Northeast Grand Avenue in Portland. This is an 18 and over show. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
As life is much too quick for your hurry, and there's too many problems, so tell me, oh, why worry?
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Feet to the Fire campaign and protest on Friday, March 23rd, 10 a.m. at the Washington County Courthouse in Hillsboro, Oregon. The monthly Feet to Fire campaign is part of a national campaign started by Protect Our Stolen Treasures out of Detroit to hold district attorneys accountable for protecting us against police violence and hate crimes. This peaceful protest outside one of the county courthouses calls for justice for those lost to police violence and hate crimes. Again, that's Feet to the Fire campaign and protest on Friday, March 23rd, 10 a.m. at the Washington County Courthouse, 145 Northeast 2nd Avenue in Hillsboro, Oregon. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Thank you for listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7 o'clock and Calculated Conversation is next.
I'm expressing with my full capabilities, and now I'm living in correctional facilities. Cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it.
Yes, yes, yes. This is KBOO.